Psalm 73, and for sake of reading, I'm just going to read one verse, verse 1. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. And I want to talk to you a little bit this evening about remembering that God is good. Remembering that God is good. When you see this, and when the psalmist is saying this, God is good. God is good. God is good to Israel. The goodness of God is you can look at it in two directions. God is good. God is always good. But not only is God good, He is good to us. See, good, God being good, that's part of His person. God is good. But then, who He is and that goodness, His blessings, being good to us and to Israel. God is good to Israel. So not only is God is good to Israel. God's good to us. And he said, even to such as are of a clean heart. He's talking about a pure heart. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. And to have a clean heart, a pure heart, a person, of course, has to have their sins washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what gives us a clean heart and a pure heart. Now, when you look at that as a clean heart, having a clean heart, a pure heart, and we do understand that the blood of Christ is what absolutely washes our sins away. But also, listen, you can be saved and your heart be affected on this side. Now listen, you're not going to be lost and or become unsaved, but you know, we can allow things to come into our heart that shouldn't be there. Amen. Am I right about that? Right. And it'll affect our heart. So we feel like that our heart is not pure. Our heart is not clean. David prayed, and David was a man after God's own heart. He said, God, create in me a clean heart. Renew in me a right spirit. He felt like because of his sin that he had to get that which is dirty out of his heart. And God is good to such as are of a clean heart, the pure in heart. God's good to us, listen, many times, even when we sin and we fail. When we deliberately go against Him, God many times is good to us. But I really don't expect the goodness of God to shower on my life if my heart's not clean. Are you listening to me? I don't expect to see the goodness of God, the blessings of God coming my way. And many times, but they do. We continue to reap in the days that we were living closely to the Lord and had a clean heart. But then we do something. We cover some sin or, commit something against the Lord, and suddenly we feel that we are not clean. And God will then in turn, listen, we may
face the chastening hand of the Lord. And I'm not preaching on that today. But to remind us of the blessings of God, that God, listen, because of His goodness and because He is good, you and I should want to be clean before Him. Amen? I should want to be pleasing to Him, not just to get something from God, but because just because God is good. God has been good to me. God has been good to you. Amen. He's good to such as are of a clean heart. Now, some things that David listed here that will keep you and I from seeing just how good God is. And David began to look at those without God. And he looked all around him. And he saw people. He said, but as for me, in verse 2, my feet were almost gone. Now, this is a man whose feet had been on a solid rock. He said, my steps had well nigh slipped. His steps that are ordered by the Lord. He said, I feel like they're slipping. And what was causing that in David's life? Well, David tells us, he said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Listen, as a child of God, you should never look to what the wicked has and say, look how good they've got it. They've got it better than me. Look at all that they have. You see, what you're doing is you're looking away from the good God to a bad world, to those temporal things. You're turning away from the eternal things and looking to the temporal things. And it's very easy for any of us. Man is envious in nature. Man lusts to envy, is what the Bible said. And, you know, God, one of the commandments that God gave to Moses was, you know, for us not to want that our neighbor has. Not to covet after that which our neighbor has. And David said, my feet, they were almost gone. I had almost slipped. And it was because I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And when he saw the prosperity, then here's what he saw. This is what he was seeing. For there are no bands in their death, no pangs, in other words. I mean, he saw men that folded their arms and laid down, and they were put in fine robes and lifted up high, and flowers were showered over them. And I mean, it looked like they just wasn't any pang of death for them. They went out in a blaze of glory, I guess you could say. They had it all. Their life had been full. And it seemed as though they had no regret. He said, their strength is firm. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men. Other men face trouble. I face trouble. Most of the men I know have trouble. They don't face trouble. They don't have the trouble that I have. And he goes on and says, neither are they plagued like other men. They don't have the trouble that most men have. They're not plagued the way most men are plagued. It seems like that they have skirted around everything. Therefore, pride compasseth about them as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. You look at some of these guys in the world, and we all see them on the news, and you think, what are they going to do with all that? What could they possibly do with all that they have? Have you ever thought, you know, if they just, they could give me a little bit of what they had, and it wouldn't even make them sweat, and it would transform my life. If I just had, I mean, just a fraction of what that man had. They've got more than their heart could wish. They're corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Here's what he said in verse number 11. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? The doubt of your good God begins to come into question. Here's men living without God, and they are high and lifted up and lofty and more than a man could want. They seem like they've got it good. Real good. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verse 12. In verse 13, he said, verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocency. I've done all this in vain. Trust in God, living according to God's word, waiting on the goodness of God, walking in this way. Look at his life. Look at my life. We turn our attention again away from the good God who has been good to us. Unto those that are experiencing a temporal goodness. And listen, don't you ever forget that God lets the rain come down on the just and the unjust. He said, I've cleansed. That's the way he began. I've cleansed my heart in vain. I've lived for God for nothing. That's the way he was feeling. For all day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I therein. He said, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood therein. Eyes opened. Now listen to what the psalmist walked into. He walked into the courts of the Lord, where God himself comes down. Are you listening? This is the house of the Lord. The place where God's name is. And he sees all that's in the house. And he is reminded of what God has said, this good God. And he realizes they have no washing. They have no lamb. They have no blood for their sin. They have no acceptance from God. They have no high priest. Are you listening? No sacrifice for sin. Amen. And no God to accept it. I've got a good God. They ain't got nothing. He's reminded, listen, God Almighty is our exceeding great and precious reward. Amen? You need to remember that. I mean, when you look at all that they have, all of this, listen, then you'll understand their end. Everything they have, they may seem to have it good now, but their end is short. And who's God good to? God is good to me. God is good to you.
Amen.
Listen, I'm not preaching that that everybody in the world has it good and God's people, you know, we've just got it so tough. Well, I want to tell you something. God has blessed us amazingly.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't got no reason at all to covet anything Elon Musk or Donald Trump or Joe Biden or any of them's God. Are you listening to me? God's been good to me.
Amen.
And I absolutely would not trade what the Lord has given me for everything they've got. All their money cannot measure up to the riches of His glory. The riches of His grace. The true riches of heaven that God has so abundantly blessed you and I with. God is good. And God is good to you and good to me. David began to see that. They don't have no sacrifice, no blood, no light. All that's precious. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. He began to see everything they have is going to go right through their fingers. Their feet, they got nothing to stand on. Nothing to stand on. How can you stand on prosperity? How can you stand on the appearance of no pangs of death when death surely brings pangs? The Lord said He'd take the sting of death away from us, didn't He? All that they have, how could they stand on that at all? You cannot stand on that. It's sinking sand. There's no foundation. Amen? He said they are brought into desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors in verse 19. Now look what he said in verse 21. He said, thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Look at what he realizes that he has in God Almighty. A God that is guiding him and leading him and holding his hand. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon the earth that I desire beside thee. Boy, his desire went back to the good God. God, I don't desire all that. I don't desire all that they're possessing. All that will burn, all of that will crumble, all of that is temporary. You need to remember how good God is. God is eternal. He has given unto us eternal life.
Amen.
Amen. And they shall never perish. eternal life, the eternal life of Christ. Amen. The bread of life, the water of life. He hath washed our sins away, given us a clean heart. Amen. Whom have I in heaven but thee? I desire none beside thee, he said. My flesh and my heart faileth. I found this verse and underlined it when I was having all the trouble with my heart. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I'd rather have Him. Listen, when a man's heart and his flesh is failing, what is all that going to do for me? What would everything in the world do for me? That he said, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Look what he said in verse 28. But it is good for me to draw near to God. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works. Listen, there is no greater blessing than to trust the Lord. To trust the Lord. To know that you have put your trust in the Lord. That you have put your hope in Him. Verse 27, he said, for lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. All them that had all the things of the world that said, how doth God know? Is there knowledge with the Most High? Is there a God, and is there a God that knows any of this? They're far from Him, and we can draw nigh to Him. We can draw nigh to Him. Come closer to Him. Realize how good that He is. And it is good for me to draw near to God. Listen, it's just God being good to me and you to allow us to draw near to Him. God being good to us. Man hadn't always been able to draw near to God. You know, I know we have preached, I have, for years, that when God allowed Moses to see his hinder parts, he put him in the cleft of the rock, you know. And it was God being good to Moses to let him see what he saw. And I'm not saying that I absolutely know this is the way it is. But the language is there in the Hebrew and in our King James. But I tell you that because I do try to search these things out. The English means more to me. Listen, this Bible right here, what it says means more to me than anything. Because I believe God gave us a book. And every word is the words of God. But it looks like that God could have said, you know, when I'll pass by and you'll see my hinder parts is a word that he uses, in other words, to say, you'll know I came through there. you'll see what I've left behind. You'll know God's been something. God has been here on the mountain.
Amen.
That God passed right by your way.
Amen.
Boy, I'm telling you, that blessed my heart when I got to thinking about that. How many times God has come by and I hadn't seen him with my eyes, but I knew he came by.
Amen.
He let me see.
Amen.
Amen. Where his presence had been.
Amen.
Ain't that a blessing? God's good to us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God's good to you. Don't ever get your eyes. Listen, don't ever get to the place where you are in envy of anything that the world has. And begin to feel like what God has given you is not enough. Listen, the Lord, if you need more, the Lord knows that. And God will take care of you. Amen? God will take care of you. We don't have to lust to envy out here in the world. We've got a God that said, I'll supply your needs. Amen? Praise the Lord. I want you to stand.